church, and Happy New Year to each and every one of you. If you are here for the first time, you are very, very welcome. You're also welcome if you've been here loads of times. So Happy New Year, and let's start the service by just turning to people near us. Maybe you haven't spoken to anyone yet this morning, and wishing them a Happy New Year. Lovely, because we're here to worship God, but we worship God as a family here at Sittingbourne Baptist Church. And isn't it nice to be able to turn around to each other and say, Happy New Year, how are you? Are you well? Did you survive Christmas? Was it all okay? So Happy New Year, and you're very welcome. As we look back on the past year, we can see many ways that God has blessed us and guided us through the challenges that we faced. And as we look ahead to the new year, we can have hope and confidence that God will continue to be with us and lead us on the path that he has for us. Because as we know in Jeremiah 29 verse 11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Now, I think there's something quite comforting about the fact that God's got it all planned out. So if things aren't going particularly right at the minute, don't have any fear. Just take all those prayers to the Lord, because he's got it under control. Now, today we're going to start off with the birthday box. Now, I'm hoping that we've got a January birthday. Have we got any birthdays that have happened this week? Have we? Vi's telling me that we have. Margaret was sitting very quietly, pretending that she didn't have a birthday. But Vi has told her secret. So, I think, Margaret, I've got my book ready, so we're going to sing to you. It was yesterday. She'd forgotten already, and it was yesterday. Okay, so let's have a go. Let's sing to Margaret.
Happy birthday to Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Now, seamlessly, we move on to the birthday scheme with Vi. She's going to come and tell us something about the scheme that she's been running for a long time. Oh. Oh, yeah, well done, Murfan.
I picked up this birthday scheme 15 years ago. And that's how long we've been doing it. And so far, up until now, we have sent
Okay, could we have Romans 4, verses 6 to 8 on the screen, please? We're just going to look at this before we start today's service. Because the Apostle Paul's letter explains that blessings come from God crediting righteousness apart from works, using King David as an example from Psalm 32. And it's Psalm 32 that Nathan will be talking to us about later on, highlighting that true happiness is found in being forgiven and covered sins, where God doesn't count sins against a person. Now, if ever there was a reason to praise God this morning, that's a good one, isn't it? Because we can't do anything of our own accord. Nothing is because of who we are. Everything is because of who he is and his grace. So it says, David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. We're going to enter a time of song worship now. The songs will go from one to the other. I really wanted to create a bit of space in the worship this morning so that we can just use this time to offer up our praises to God. And as you read through the lyrics of the songs, just have a think which bits have resonated with you, and hopefully you'll be able to tell later why those songs were chosen. But we're going to start together with Come, Now Is the Time to Worship.
Come, now is the time to give your heart.
seat as we enter into prayer. As we meet today, the World Church also remembers Epiphany, a time when the three kings arrived at the stable in Bethlehem. At the end of each refrain, I will say, Lord of Glory, and I ask that you will join in with, hear our prayer. Let us worship the Saviour with joy and make our prayer to our Heavenly Father. The Magi came from the east to worship your Son. Father, grant to Christians everywhere the spirit of adoration. Lord of Glory, hear our prayer. The infant Christ received gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. Father, accept the offering of our hearts and minds. Lord of Glory, hear our prayer. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Father, grant an abundance of peace to your world. Lord of Glory, hear our prayer. The Holy Family lived in exile and in the shadow of death. Father, look in mercy on all who are poor and powerless and all who suffer. Lord of Glory, hear our prayer. Your Son shared the life of his home and family at Nazareth. Father, protect in your love our neighbours, our families, and this community of which we are a part. Lord of Glory, hear our prayer. Father, we rejoice in our fellowship with the shepherds, the angels, the Magi, the Virgin Mary, Saint Joseph, and all the faithful departed. In your unfailing love for us and for all people, hear and answer our prayers through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. The next two songs are intended to be quite prayerful, really, and it's up to you as to whether you want to stand or sit as we sing them. At the end of the two songs, the music group will play a little bit of music for the children to leave to go to their groups. We're going to sing together, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. How many times have we tried to work this out all on our own and then found that actually we could have taken it to the Lord in prayer far quicker? Let's see if we can. I know myself, that's one of my New Year's resolutions, if you like. I'm going to see whether I can try not to do it in my own strength and try and take it to the Lord just a bit quicker than usual. And then Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? And that's today's theme, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Okay, let's sing together.
Thank you. but the blood of Jesus, not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Thank you so much, Linda, and the worship team for leading us beautifully in worship this morning. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
And Happy New Year to you all. Happy New Year. Now, I want to call your attention this morning to the book of Genesis. There's a last minute change that the Lord impressed on my heart, but I still want you to keep that psalm. There you'll see in your sermon notes, and use that psalm as a prayer reflection throughout the course of this week, and you'll see how it fits in with the message this morning. But sometimes I try my best to keep my devotional reading of the Bible different from my studying for the messages that God gives me to preach here. But on a few occasions, my devotional reading, it's like I just feel that, no, this is for the house as well. So this was one of those occasions, Genesis chapter 4, and still tying into the same theme this morning of looking in the mirror. And the Lord really impressed on my heart that on the first Sunday of a new year, the temptation for a lot of preachers on this first Sunday would be to get up and proclaim that this is going to be a great year, and this is going to be the best year of our lives, and this is just going to be amazing. And all of those things are great, and I pray that that happens. But I felt strongly that the Lord showed me through this text that before we go forward this year, I don't want my people to go backwards, but I do want my people to just stop for a moment and take a look in the mirror. Before we go forward this year, I want my people to just take a long, hard look in the mirror and do some introspection. Let's look at Genesis chapter 4. Familiar story. It reads like this. Now Adam knew his wife, knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, and this time his brother Abel. And now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit from the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain, here it is, was very angry, and his countenance fell. He had a sad face, countenance, because the Lord did not respect his gift, his offering. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why are you so upset, Cain? And why has your countenance fallen? And this is what Jesus, the Lord had to say to Cain. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at your door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Sin is crouching at your door. Sin is knocking at your door, Cain. And verse 8 says, now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Sad. This is the first murder here in the Bible. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. And then you'll see in the following verses, God pronounces a curse upon Cain for punishment for what he had done. And then Cain says in verse 13, Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face, and I'll become like a fugitive, a wanderer, a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to me, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Isn't it amazing that although Cain had committed murder, and although God had pronounced judgment on him, and Cain said, my life is over, I've become like a wanderer on the earth, I'm a fugitive, but yet still we see the grace of God at work. God said to Cain, I know what you've done. I know you've committed murder. I know you're going to have to take some responsibility. But Cain, I've placed a hedge of protection around you. No one is going to kill you. I've placed my hand of protection over your life. I'm speaking from the thought this morning, what do you see in the mirror? What do you see in the mirror? There is a book that I've been reading recently, and the book is entitled Soul Detox. And it's one of the most powerful books that I've read for a long time, really is. And I would encourage us all, if you can get a copy of that book, you can get that book on Amazon or any of the bookstores, Christian bookstores. It's a really challenging and a practical book that encourages us and challenges us to look within and to analyze some of those areas and the baggage, and to really allow the Lord to search our heart so that we can have a declutter of the soul. And in this book, church, the author Craig Rochelle, he opens with a story where he recounts his childhood years. He recounts how he grew up in his parents' home, and his parents were avid smokers. They were chain smokers. And as were accustomed for not just him, but many of his friends as they were growing up, many of his friends too grew up in households where their parents were chain smokers. And Craig lets us know in the book, church, He says, and I quote, "I didn't realize how unhealthy my home was until I got outside of the home. Then I was able to breathe freely and experience the difference." He says, "In fact, after living in a smoke-free environment for the first time ever in his life, after leaving home and going to university, he realized, church, that when he returned home back to his parents' house, that he was shocked." He goes on to say that the walls which he remembered growing up, he remembered as a child growing up that those walls were crisp white. But now, on his return, he realized that those walls were not crisp white, but they held a dull yellowish tint. And he also noticed that his childhood home, it almost had a pale gray film that was coating the air. And even though no one had a cigarette that was lit at the time, he could not avoid this unmistakable haze that filled the room. And instead of having a familiar and a comfortable smell in his university dorm, he realized that his childhood home, his old dwelling place, it smelled like an old ashtray. Now, church, on this first Sunday of the year, I'm not here this morning. I don't want you to mistake me. I'm not here this morning on behalf of the National Health Service. I'm not here to give a health speech as to the benefits of not smoking. I'm not here to do that. I'm not here to promote healthy living. That's not really my assignment. And this is not a condemnation of smokers. It's really not. That's your choice. But what Craig submits here in this book, he's using smoking as an illustration of something that's far more sinister than just smoking. He's giving an illustration of something far greater than just the physical aspect of smoking. And on this first Sunday of a new year, church, I believe that just like Craig in the book, who's giving this short story of the effects of smoking, I believe that before we launch out in this brand new year and go after our goals this year and go after our dreams this year, before we try to tick those boxes this year and our New Year's resolutions, I do believe that the call from heaven as we start this new year is simply put, what do you see when you look in the mirror? What do you see, church, when you look in the mirror? And I'm not talking about just our mere physical bodies here. I'm not talking about standing in the mirror and brushing your hair and brushing your teeth. But what do you see in the mirror of your soul? What do you see? What reflection do we see from a spiritual perspective? What reflection do we see as we analyze and survey what's going on in our minds? Can we say that our soul is healthy? Can we say that our spiritual lives is on the right track? Can we say that our minds are in a healthy place? And what I believe the enemy wants to do this year, church, what the enemy wants to see happen to all of us this year, he wants us to believe the hype of a smoke screen. What is the job of the smoke screen? The smoke screen's job is to disguise and to conceal. It wants to hide what's truly going on within. Because what we can do this year is we can dress up in our Sunday best. We can affix our hair. We can brush our teeth. We can spray the nice perfume or the cologne. Some of us, if our teeth is not in the right place, we can even go to Turkey and get a brand new set of pearly whites. And many today even go to have procedures to alter their physical bodies, to make themselves look great to look at in the mirror. And even you have so many different lotions and different things that you can use now to slow down the process of aging. We can do all of those things. Stop the wrinkles. Try and stop the bags under our eyes. But the challenge for us this year, all of those things, they're just a smokescreen. It's just clouding over what's really going on in our soul. That's why Jesus says, what does it profit a man or woman if they were to gain the whole world, but in turn lose their soul? So this is the year, church. I know this is not really what we want to hear. This is going to be a great year. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. But what the Lord showed me this year is before we go forward, we need to take a long, hard look within and allow the Lord to minister to those broken places in our lives. To allow the Lord to minister to those areas, yes, of weakness that we all have. This is not the year to conceal. This is not the year to hide. This is not the year just to spray perfume over those smelly places in our lives. But this is the year where we open ourselves up to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother or my father, not my brother or my sister. I'm not judging anyone else this year. I'm not looking to the left or the right this year, but I'm looking at myself. Where do I need to improve? How do I need to grow? How do I need to get better? This is the year not for the smokescreen, but it's time to get rid of the smokescreen. It's time to get rid of the filters. It's time to look ourselves in the spiritual mirror and say, Lord, this is the year that I want to grow closer to you like never before. I want this year, me and you, to have a closer fellowship and relationship. That just like Paul, I want to know you, not just in the power of your resurrection, but I also want to know you in the fellowship of your suffering. Does anyone want to know the Lord intimately this year? That's my prayer. I didn't even get on to doing the goals of all the other aspects of my life. But as Anna and I were praying in New Year's Eve, we just couldn't get past the spiritual aspect. This is the year that we want to grow closer to the Lord like never before. Oh, you're not excited about that. The good news is that this year, whether you've been a Christian for 50 years, 60 years, 20 years, or 2 days, this is the year where all of us can grow closer to the Lord this year. And even if you've been serving the Lord for a long time and you feel like, man, I've arrived. I know so much. I know so much of the Holy Scriptures. You can't teach me anything, Nathan. I know church. I know spiritual things. But I want to encourage even you, if you feel like you know so much, this is the year you can learn something more. Because he wants to reveal to us more of his grace, more of his love, more of his power. And yes, he wants to reveal to each and every one of us more of his purpose and direction in our lives. That's why Solomon says that if we trust in the Lord, not just with half of our hearts, but he says, if we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and we lean not to our own understanding in all of our ways this year, if we acknowledge him, then he will direct our paths. I'm excited about this year because God wants us to have a closer walk with him. So before we go forward in 2026, I believe the call for us as the children of God is simply to look within, to do some introspection, to look within, to take our eyes off this world and even take our eyes off other people, what other people are doing, but to look in the spiritual mirror and say, Lord, where do I need to grow? And why do I believe this is important? Number one, here it is, if we can go to the next slide. Number one, because why is it important to look in the mirror? Because a good look within can reveal unaddressed issues in our lives. Can we say that together, church? A good look within can reveal unaddressed issues in our lives. We have to understand this year, church, that just merely saying the words, a new year, a new me, yeah, that's good. That's good, positive declarations. A new year, a new me. That's good, positive verbal declarations. But that's not enough. I saw a social media post a few days ago that blessed me. It says that for anyone this year that has an entrepreneurial spirit and wants to start a business this year, the advice was that what we should do, if you want to start a business this year, number one, you should start the business in January, and you should start a business in the field of a gym. You should start a gym, and you must start the gym in January. But then it goes on to say, don't just start the gym in January, but what you need to do, when you start the gym in January, in February, clear everything out and turn it into a pub. Because in January, you will get an overflow of subscriptions. But by February, half of the people that subscribed will stop going to the gym. And they will then go looking for the pub. Because just merely saying a new year, new me, without application, will just be a waste of time. And when we come now to the scene of our text, at a cursory glance of the story of Cain, if you just read his story and glance over this text, you may think, Cain, why would you just kill your brother just like that? Just because God did not accept your gift. Just because he did not respect your offering, but he received your brother's, your younger brother's offering, why would you go to such extreme to kill your brother? Why would you go to such extreme levels of rage just because of an offering? Cain, this does not make sense. But as I was reflecting on his life and his story, could it be, church, that Cain had some unaddressed issues in his life? Could it be that Cain, from a childhood, was struggling with some unresolved issues that were left unchecked? Issues that he kept in private. Issues that he kept to himself. He knew he was struggling with these issues, but he didn't tell no one. He didn't ask for help. And it was bubbling up, bubbling up, bubbling up. And it was almost as if this episode with God rejecting his offering, it was like it was the tip of the iceberg. And he just reacted in rage to kill his brother. Could it be that the smoke screens in Cain's life, it covered what was going on within? Now, I'm just speculating here. The Bible doesn't say this. But could it be that growing up as the older brother of Abel, could it be that as he was the firstborn son, that maybe, just maybe, he was not allowed to get away with some things, but his younger brother Abel, the baby brother, he was able to get away with murder? Maybe he grew up saying, I'm sick and tired of my younger brother. Why does he have to get away with all these things? And I was punished. Even for me as a younger brother, even sometimes my older brother likes to tell me I'm the golden child. I'm the favorite one. Yeah, he says that. And maybe there's some older siblings here. You know what that's like. That's not my fault. It's not my fault I'm the younger one. I didn't ask for this. And if we're not careful, that resentment can grow. And even I shared with you early last year that statistics show now that what they call sibling rivalry is at an all-time high. That brothers and sisters are fighting amongst each other because of this tension within the family unit. So could it be that Cain had some internal struggles and issues because maybe he felt his parents, Adam and Eve, they showed favoritism and to himself? And I want to encourage us, as we look in the mirror before we go forward this year, we've got to ask the Lord to search our hearts and see if there are some things that we have been holding on to. Maybe it's not sibling rivalry or resentment, but maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe we've been carrying the baggage of unforgiveness and we've been hoarding it for years and years, carrying it around like a backpack in our hearts. And this is the year where God is challenging us. We got to deal with it. We've got to let it go. Don't bring it into a new year. Release it. Give it to me. It's not my will for you to carry this baggage throughout the course of 2026. So number one, a good look within, it can reveal to us those unaddressed issues. Could it be that if Cain were to have dealt with those issues, that maybe, just maybe, he would not have hit out in rage and killed his younger brother? But number two, here's the second one. A good look in the mirror can also identify potential pitfalls along the way this year. Let's say that together. A good look in the mirror can identify potential pitfalls along the way this year. The sad thing about Cain's story, church, is when you read verse 7, the Lord warned Cain. Look what he says. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, here it is, sin lies at your door. God was warning Cain. Sin is crouching at your very door. And this year, can I tell you and myself, the devil wants sin to lie and crouch at our spiritual doors. He wants us to open the door of sin this year like never before. What is sin? Disobedience against God and his perfect will. And what the enemy wants us to do this year is to reject the purpose and the plan of God and open the door of sin, which is diametrically opposed to the will of God. Cain, sin is crouching at your door. It reminds me of Jesus when he was talking to Peter and he told Peter, the devil desires to sift you like wheat. He wants to destroy you. And we know the mission statement of the enemy, to kill, to steal, and also to destroy. And that's what he wants to do to us this year. He wants to destroy our dreams. He wants to kill our hope and our faith in God. He wants to steal and rob our joy. That's what he wants to do this year. He wants us to believe a lie rather than believe in the truth. But I'm here to encourage us this on the first Sunday of a new year, that the weapons that we fight with, they are not weapons of this world. The weapons that we have are mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. Because greater is he that is within us than he or she that's in the world. And we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to cower. We don't have to back down this year. But all we have to do is stand firm. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against the enemy. We don't have to go looking after fights this year with the enemy. We don't have to do that. But all we have to do when sin is crouching at our door is simply say no in Jesus' name. As we've been singing earlier, that the team shared with us, nothing but the blood of Jesus. So the Bible says even the demons tremble at that name. I'm here to encourage you, church. You are not just any individual, but you are bought with a price. And whatever the enemy wants to throw in your direction this year, you don't have to be afraid because you have a mark on your life. The blood of the Lord Jesus covers you. And no weapon formed against you this year will prosper. Yes, they may form, but they will not prosper. So don't be afraid, child of God. If sickness comes your way this year, stand firm. If discouragement comes your way this year, stand firm. If bad news comes your way this year, stand firm. And trust in God. He will see us through. But third and finally, not only do we see that sin is crouching at the door, and unfortunately for Cain, he did not heed the advice of God. The Lord warned him, Cain, sin is crouching at your door. But Cain still went out in the next verse. He called his brother aside and he committed murder. But third and finally, here's the third one, the final one. Let's read this together. You might not like what you see in the mirror now, but God can transform your reflection. Oh, that's good news. We may take a look at the mirror here on the first Sunday of the year, and we may not like what we see. And so in the natural, so in the spiritual. Many look in the mirror today, and even though there's nothing wrong with them, they don't like what they see. And they go out spending lots of money trying to alter what they see when God has made them fearfully and wonderfully made. But so in the spiritual, we may look in the spiritual mirrors of our lives and we may see some things that we say, oh no, this, yeah, I know, Lord, I don't like this. I know this breaks your heart. There's some areas in my life where I know I'm falling short. There's some areas in my life I know I'm missing the mark. All of us may look at the spiritual mirrors and see some of those places where we're not proud of. See some of those reflections that we know is contrary to God's will. But what I love about Cain, although he committed murder, although his reflection was not looking good at this particular moment, but I love that the story ends with some hope. Because yes, his reflection, it reeked of envy and jealousy and bitterness, and yes, even rage and murder. And then in verse 12, he says, look, my life is over. I'm now going to become a fugitive, a vagabond. Word a vagabond means a wanderer. So he's saying, now because of what I've done, I'm not going to have any purpose in life anymore. Maybe there's someone who's committed an act of violence and now they're in prison, they're incarcerated, and they're thinking now behind the walls of a prison cell that their life is over, that they don't have any purpose. But here's the good news of God. Cain says, Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. You've driven me out. I won't have any fellowship with you anymore. But I love what the Lord has to say to Cain. And I believe that these words are also for each and every one of us today, that even if we don't like what we see in the mirror now, through his grace and his mercy, there's always hope. Look what he says in verse 15. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. And then this is what blessed me, church. He was a vagabond. He was a wanderer. He felt his life was over. He was a murderer. Bitterness, anger, terrible reflection. But look what happens from verse number 16. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And here it is, verse 17. And Cain knew his wife. You missed it. Cain was a wanderer. Cain had no purpose in life. Cain was filled with jealousy and anger and bitterness. And yes, he committed murder. But God says, I'm placing a mark of protection on his life. And he went out to the land of Nod and he knew his wife. He still missed it. His life was over. He had no purpose in life. He was a wanderer. Jealousy, bitterness, rage, anger, murder. But he went out and he knew his wife. And not just knew his wife, and in case for some, this is old King James Version, knew. You know what that means, right? Yeah, I don't have to say it, but you know exactly what I mean. He knew his wife. He had intimacy with his wife. And conceived and bore a son. And his name was Enoch. And he named a city after his son, Enoch. That lets us know that yes, we may make some huge grave errors. I don't know who this is for. Maybe something happened in 2025. And you're wondering, just like Cain, 2026 is not going to be a good year for me because of what happened in 2025. But I'm here to encourage you, just like Cain, God is rich in mercy and grace. And the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. So you may have failed in 2025, but I'm here to encourage you. His grace is sufficient in 2026. And you don't have to live your life as a wanderer this year. You don't have to live your life in fear and trembling, wondering if you are going to make it this year. But I'm here to encourage you. You can have a new start this year. A new hope. A new joy. And maybe it's not like Cain. Maybe it's not a physical conception where a child will be born in your life. But maybe it's spiritual birth. Maybe God is going to allow you to birth something this year. Something new that you never even thought would be possible. Maybe there's someone here today. This is going to be the year where God is going to stretch your faith. And you are going to launch out and do something for God that you never thought would be possible in your life. I'm speaking to you this morning that God has raised some of us up in this church. God has called you to preach the gospel. And some of you have been wondering, is this really of God, or is this just my human flesh? This is the year I believe God is going to reveal to you, I have called you. I have set a mark on your life. You shall preach and declare my word. But you got to step out in faith. Maybe some of you, God has called you to start a small group this year. And maybe you wondered, I can't do it. I can't lead a small group. I'm here to encourage you. Just like Cain, who was a wanderer, he's no respecter of persons. What he done for Cain, he can do just for you. But will you step out in faith? and trust him. Every year, we make resolutions. And we make those resolutions to change ourselves. But this is the year I believe God wants us not just to change ourselves, but he wants us to be ourselves. He wants us to be all that God has created us to be. Fearfully and wonderfully made, fashioned and shaped in the image of God. But before we step out this year, before we plan anything, before we plan our summer holidays, before we make those arrangements to do this and to do that, let's look in the mirror. Let's do some soul searching. Are there some areas, unaddressed issues? Are there some broken places? Are there some issues that have been left unaddressed? Let's spend a moment in prayer. Lord, we come to you on this first Sunday of the year. And before we go forward, we just want to pause to look within. Search our hearts. Reveal to us those places. Maybe there's some areas that we have been concealing for many years. We didn't want no one to ever know about those areas. But we thank you that you want to be not just Lord of some of our lives, but of every part of our lives. So would you help us now to just release those things to you, to release those areas in our lives that we have been concealing with the smoke screen. Help us to be open and available to you now. Every part of our lives, we want, as your word says, to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. So would you heal those broken places? Would you mend those areas of baggage? Whatever we're holding on to, Father, we don't just want to bring the baggage into a new year. Help us, Lord, to deal with those areas. We thank you for the story of Cain. And although he had some potential unaddressed issues, bitterness and rage and anger, but thank you, Lord, that you are rich in mercy, that although he did wrong, you still place a mark of protection over his life. And we thank you that even now in the New Testament, that mark is still on our lives even today through the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and his resurrection. So we humbly ask, Lord, as we head out into this new year, we don't know what this year will bring and hold, but we pray humbly that this will be the year that we draw closer to you like never before. None but the pure in heart shall see God. Help us to have a closer walk and fellowship with you. Thank you for the promise that if we would draw close to you, then you will draw close to us. If we would hunger and thirst for righteousness, then your word says that we shall be filled. So Lord, give us that hunger. Give us that thirst. Let us not just have church as usual this year. Let us not just be a Christian as usual this year. But let this be a year where you'll stretch us, where you'll challenge us, where we will grow like never before. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 To God be the glory. As the worship team come back, we prepare to close the service. The challenge was that Cain had the mark over his life. And this year, we can't just assume that everything is going to be hunky-dory and okay this year without the protection and the mark of Jesus Christ in our lives. And if you're here today and you're not yet a believer in Jesus, you've not yet given your life to him, wouldn't it be a great day to give your life to Christ on the first Sunday of a new year? If there's anyone here today that wants to know Jesus and wants to give him your life, why don't you just raise your hand in faith? Raise your hand in faith. If you want to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll love to pray for you. Would there be one? And likewise, if there's anyone who is a believer but you've not yet been baptized by full immersion, then please raise your hand if you want to be baptized according to the Holy Scriptures. Please raise your hand. Would there be one? All right, we're all a part of God's family. That's great. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord. Let's thank God. Amen. Amen.
Our last song, which is Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me. What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Let's stand to sing as we think about this year to come, and we think about how, by the strength of Christ, what we will be able to achieve as a church.
Sin has been defeated. Jesus died.
nor I, but Christ in me. Please do join us, church, for a tea and coffee, a biscuit and a chat in the church lounge after the service. And just a call and a reminder for this evening is our evening service, our first communion service of the year. And we're going to be launching a brand new series during our first Sundays of the month. And it's entitled Avoided Subjects in the Bible. Avoided Subjects in the Bible. And the first one we're going to be talking about this evening is the doctrine of predestination. Some of you may be familiar with that. It might be new to some of you, but join me. I'm going to be speaking again this evening. The doctrine of predestination. We're going to be talking about Calvinism. The 5 points of Calvinism. So it's going to be an exciting time this evening. So join us at 6:30. That will be great for our communion service. Happy New Year to you all. May God's blessing be with you all. Let's receive now the benediction. Father, once again, we thank you so much for your presence. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy. And we thank you for bringing us into a new year. We are here because of you. It's in you that we live, move, and have our very being. We thank you for bringing us safely into a new year. And Lord, we do pray that throughout the course of this week, that we will use this psalm, Psalm number 32, as a prayer guide, as we look within, the spiritual mirrors of our lives, and just allow those areas, Lord, to be ministered to by you, those broken places. And Lord, whenever sin crouches at the door, we pray that we would not, Lord, like Cain, allow the devil to have a foothold in our lives, but that we would walk in the freedom and the liberty that comes through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. So now dismiss us from this place, but never benedict us from your presence. And until we meet again, may the grace of Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. God bless you all. Amen.